The anagram HONOR outlines the steps for successful conflict resolution. H, have control of your emotions. O, only focus on one issue. N, negotiate kindly. O, options, choose one. R, resolve and commit. Let's go back to the H, have control of your emotions. I know it's easier said than done, but maintaining control of our emotions is an obvious given in successful conflict resolution. So I'd like to talk about anger management. How do we manage our anger? There's three ways. Number one, first, you label it. As soon as you feel the anger, just the minute you feel that anger begin to well up inside, and we know how this feels, verbalize it. Label it. Say something like, I'm starting to get angry. Or, I can feel myself getting angry. When I was young, a young mother, I said, I'm going to give you a warning. Mary Poppins is going to leave and the Wicked Witch of the West is coming to take her place. You know, anything you want to say is fine, but let yourself and everyone within earshot know that your anger is beginning to flare. This is an incredibly important first step. This alone can prevent huge problems. Number two, second step of anger management, remove yourself. Physically remove yourself, if possible, from the problem, the person, or the people. For example, if you're in a discussion that becomes heated, label it. I'm getting angry. I'm just going to go outside and cool off for a minute. And walk outside. Remove yourself. People usually are back in control within about 2 to 5 minutes. But inertia is huge, and we often don't have enough self-control to remove ourselves. Just get out of the way. If you can't go outside, go to a bathroom or another room. Breathe deeply and think, you know, it's not like me to lose control because I usually don't lose my temper. I can work this out. I can think of a solution and stay in control. Think whatever thoughts you want to calm you down. Some people sing at the top of their lungs. Some people count. Do whatever works for you. Even if you're in the car, you can pull over and get out or ask the driver to pull over so you can get out for a minute, gain control of your emotions. This step is very important. You're going to be absolutely amazed at how quickly you gain composure when you just remove yourself and use positive self-talk. The third step of anger management, be solution-focused. Don't go backwards asking why did this happen or blaming others in any way. Just move forward. Focus on how you can be part of the solution. Offer ideas and listen to suggestions with an open mind and heart. Only if you care more about solving the problem than about your own ego will you be able to do this. The choice is yours. Ask, how badly do I want peace and loving relationships? Don't try to resolve a conflict when either person is upset, because negative feelings usually escalate into anger and counterproductivity. Let's talk about the O in our anagram of HONOR. Only focus on one issue. It's easy to get sidetracked when you're discussing problems because our challenges are often multi-leveled and issues intertwine with one another. But it's important to isolate one conflict issue that you both agree must be resolved. Additionally, couples often hurry to achieve agreement before there's total understanding of both sides of the issue. This is how you gain real understanding. First, take turns telling. Clearly tell how you feel without blaming, without sarcasm. Explain why you're concerned and state your expectations like this. I'm annoyed because there's clothes all over the floor here, even though we've talked about it and we've agreed not to drop our clothes on the floor. What can I do to be part of the solution? The second step is to take turns listening. When you listen, connect with your ears, your eyes, and your heart. Look at the person. Listen with the intent to really understand. While he's talking, think of what it would be like to be him. Then say, the message I'm getting is, or what I heard you say is, then explain your understanding of their message. Since some people have a habit of interrupting, some couples use a talking stick that only the person talking can hold. If you have the talking stick, then you can talk. But if you don't, then you must be quiet. Two keys to success for this step, if you will. First, when it's your turn to speak, express your feelings with kindness. Say things in a way that doesn't accuse, doesn't blame, or is in any way negative. Oh, how important it is to disagree without being disagreeable. And then when it's your turn to listen, look at the speaker with a kind, interested expression on your face and don't interrupt, no matter what. Setting a timer for the one person that's talking is another strategy some couples use. I suggest 3 minutes, because that's usually long enough to explain the issue and your expectations in a clear and concise way. You know, sometimes mediators are used when couples believe they're needed. Mediators help couple go through each of the honor steps peacefully. After you've taken the turns, talking and listening, you should both agree that you understand the other person's message. Now, this doesn't mean agreement. It's simply an acknowledgement of understanding. Both people need to say, "I understand how you feel," before you begin to negotiate. So there's total clarity. Both parties feel understood before you move on. Then N, in honor, is to negotiate kindly. This is where the real progress is made. Negotiation is the process of coming to an agreement. The difference between negotiation and an argument is one of heart. If you are willing to open your heart and respect a different point of view than yours and genuinely consider how you can reach an agreement, then you'll be successful. If you just hold on, refuse to really open up your mind and your heart, you're not ever going to get anywhere. We know this. After successfully navigating through those first two steps, then you're ready to talk about possible solutions. It's time to list possible options, and this is how. First, brainstorm. Write down all the possible solutions to your problem, no matter how bizarre they might seem. Think of and write down as many alternatives as you can. Without negativity, without comment, you just write them down. No one can comment on any of the solutions because at this point, you're just making a list. No idea is rejected. They're all added to the list without comment. Then after you've completed the list, go back to the top and ask one by one, is this our best solution for every suggestion on the list? If both of you say no, then cross it off. If one person says yes and another one says maybe, then keep that one on the list. Even if one says yes and the other says no, if one of them says yes, keep it on the list and move on. Go back down the list and for each solution that isn't crossed off, ask each other, how do you rank this solution on a scale of 1 to 10? The solutions that are ranked by both of you as a 9 or 10, keep on the list. Cross all the others off. Only after this step, you should have maybe two or three options remaining. And that leads us to the next O in honor, options. Choose one. This is the time you choose the one solution you'll both commit to work on. Your strength of character is tested again here, as you perhaps defer to the person for whom it matters the most. For example, if you're a 9 and your partner's a 10 with one of the solutions, choose their solution and congratulate yourself on caring more about peace than pride. Ask yourself these two questions when deciding on a solution. Will doing this help our relationship? Will I become a better person by doing this? If the answer is yes to these questions, why wouldn't you support the solution? When you agree on a solution, do it enthusiastically. With your whole heart, move forward. I'm going to repeat that. With your whole heart, move forward. Don't look back rethinking your decision. Don't hold back, but I should have. None of that. It's not about winning or losing. It's about peacefully living in a joyful, loving relationship. R, resolve and commit. Resolve means to make up your mind. At this point in the process of conflict resolution, couples just, what do they need? They need unity as they commit their best efforts to making the agreed upon solution work. Couples need to be willing to follow through with the terms of their agreement. This is the time to clarify the terms. Now, even though it might seem tedious, written agreements often work best, especially for highly flammable issues. Written agreements ensure clarity and a level of commitment as both parties sign an actual document. Now, there are a few things to consider when dealing with conflict. Always give positive feedback before giving a suggestion. For example, "Sweetheart, I've noticed how kind and sensitive you are when you talk with our neighbors and our kids. You have such compassion for others. But when you talk to me, I rarely feel that sense of kindness. It would mean a lot if you spoke to me with a kind tone of voice." Be specific about your concern. Identify the specific issue you'd like to resolve. Label it a concern rather than a big problem. For example, you know, you'd say something like, "I'm concerned about the amount of interest we're spending on credit cards, and I'd like to discuss our options for paying off our credit cards so we can get out of debt." A problem well stated is a problem half solved. Another thought, attack the problem, not each other. Wally Goddard, expert in relationships, he said, "One of the most common marital mistakes is to say, if I can get you to understand what's wrong with you, then we'll be just fine." In other words, very few people change for the better as a result of constant criticism or nagging. Isn't that true? If we're not careful, some of what we offer as constructive criticism is quite destructive. Another thought. Oh, this is so important. Be quick to say, "I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I'm sorry." You could say it so easily, so quickly. Why is it so hard for us to form the words? Just say, "I apologize, honey. Please forgive me." Another thought, take a time out if necessary. Sometimes let the sun go down on your anger. It'll help you come back to the problem in the morning more rested, calm, and with a better chance for resolution. I believe that. Ask yourself this, independent of anything my partner chooses to do, what can I do to make my marriage more peaceful and joyous? I'm going to repeat that. So important. Independent of anything my partner chooses to do, what can I do to make my marriage more peaceful and joyous? Then, my friends, listen to your heart. That's the kind of question that leads to amazing marriages. And our last step to making an amazing marriage, continue to grow together. Remember the dialogue between Alice and the Cheshire Cat in Alice in Wonderland? Alice asked, "Am I in the right road?" The Cheshire Cat said, "Well, where are you going?" Alice responded, "I'm not quite sure." And the Cheshire Cat remarked, "Well, then any road will do." We know where we want to go. We want to have strong, loving, amazing marriages. It is my hope that we will be loving, others-centered, peaceful traveling companions, and that we'll each look at life as a wonderful laboratory of learning as we grow closer and more in love with our sweethearts through the years. This is Dr. Paula Fellingham. May you each be blessed in your efforts to create amazing marriages.